Let's head on down to the riverside. Muddy water and robes of white. One more sinner gonna be baptized. Revival.
The sun is shining bright. My heart is filled with gladness here above the cares of life.
But I've just come through the valley of trouble, fear, and pain. It was there I came to know my God enough to stand and say, even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, He is faithful and true. He carries His children through like He said He would. Even in the valley, God is good.
This road of life has led you to a valley of defeat. You wonder if the Father has heard your desperate plea. There is hope in that rugged place where tears of dwarves swell.
Can't you hear Him gently whispering, I'm here? And all is well. I've never tasted strong dreams. I've never fit with a popular crowd. And I've been told by some around me that this world's fun and I've missed out. I don't spend my time chasing fortune, and I've never walked the halls of fame. I don't have a fancy education to put a title by my name, but I've been to Calvary and I met the one who gave his life for me. I'm forgiven and I've been set free from this world of misery. I've been to Calvary. My Lord is such a sweet companion. He meets with me in my time of prayer. And when a storm sails my direction, a still small voice tells me he's there. I have joy when they say I shouldn't, and I have peace when it doesn't make sense. I can rest content when I have nothing, and persevere when I lost my strength. But I've been to Calvary, and I met the one who gave his life for me.
Guess that's it. Guess that's it. We'll save the singing until I get home and nobody's around. And for some reason, though, when I sing at home and nobody's around, my dog always growls. Anyway. And again, it has been such a great week. And I, too, with Brother Allen, very thankful for our singers and our choir members this week, really going the extra mile. And I asked Brother Craig a moment ago, and I know he gets this asked often, but I said, Brother Craig, there's been a few folks wanting to know if you could sing for us tonight. And, of course, he said, absolutely. So, Brother Craig, if I know you just came in, brother, and sat down, but this is a train that's moving, brother. And thank you so much for being willing to do that. Thank you, brother.
It's a blessing to be here tonight. I appreciate the opportunity to be back at Calvary. As the preacher said, this is the second time I've been here, but a lot of us have been in services together.
Sure.
At the Floyd Road in years gone by. But thank you, preacher, for having me. When someone asks me to come one time, it's a blessing. And when they ask me to come back, it's a miracle. It's an honor to be here. I appreciate Brody being with me.
Amen.
Brody, he came along to keep me awake while I drive. I have a tendency to go to sleep while I drive. And if you sleep while you drive, your timing has got to really be good.
Yeah.
But I had a precious brother. He sent me a message and said he wouldn't be able to be here, but he was going to be watching, evidently, your live streaming.
Yes, sir.
He said he would be watching, and he said if I had the opportunity that he would like for me to sing If You Only Knew.
Oh, yes.
In memory of his wife. And I think she sung this song and did a great job singing it. And so I'm going to try my best. I'm always a little intimidated to play the piano behind the guy that plays. I'm telling you, he's awesome. I wish I could steal him, just stick him in the trunk and take him back to North Carolina, but I'm sure he's got family and friends that wouldn't appreciate that, and he probably wouldn't appreciate it either.
Amen.
Have you prayed for a loved one struggling hard with pain? And you ask the Lord for healing, yet their healing never came. And in spite of all your efforts, the good Lord called them home. And it's so hard to let go when you're trying to hold on. Now you're down in the valley, looking up to the sky, and you pray, Lord, you know what's best, but I don't understand why. Oh, but if you could hear your loved one speaking now to you, they'd say you wouldn't be grieving if you only knew. If you only knew, I'm just going home. Your prayers have been answered, and my sickness is gone. so much better from heaven's view. Here the S-O-N always shines. We're having a time if you only knew. To be absent from this old body is present with my Lord. You see, right now I'm in the arms of Jesus, and I'm not suffering anymore. Hand in hand, we're gonna stroll together right down heaven's avenue. And I promise that'll be a great, great celebration if you only knew. If you only knew. I'm just going home. God answered your prayers. My sickness, why, it's all gone. Things look so much better from heaven's view. Here the sun always shines. We're having a time if you only knew. Here the sun always shines. We're having a time if you only knew.
Joy to be here tonight. Thank you for coming and for being in your place this evening. I realize that none of us are here by accident or chance or coincidence. And we just need Him. We need Him. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 4, the children of Israel went out against the Philistines. And the Philistines rose up and fought against the children of Israel. And the Israelites were defeated. As a matter of fact, 4,000 were killed in battle. Then someone suggested that they go to Shiloh and get the Ark of the Covenant and bring the Ark to the place of battle. And they said, we'll carry it onto the battlefield, and it will deliver us. And that day, 30,000 Israelites were slain, and the Philistines stole, they took the Ark of God. The children of Israel made a big mistake. They made a God out of the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant was a wonderful thing in every respect. It typified and symbolized Jesus Christ. On top of the Ark of the Covenant was a golden mercy seat. And on the mercy seat, there were two cherubims that faced each other. And God said, I will dwell with thee between the cherubims on the mercy seat. It was a wonderful thing. But the Ark, without God, was just a box. They said it will deliver us. And anytime we put our faith and trust in it, we've missed the mark. It's not it will deliver us. Our confidence should not be in an it. But our confidence should be in Him. You see, the children of Israel, they remembered the ark being carried into the Jordan River and the Jordan parted. And they remembered the ark being carried around the city of Jericho and the walls fell. But it was not the ark. It was the God of the ark. And we need Him. You know, I think sometimes we make a God out of church. We can make a God out of a lot of things, even good things. But even those good things without God are nothing. We need Him, not it. Well, that's the first sermon. That I just threw that in extra. But it's been on my mind. It's been on my heart. And we all have a tendency to talk about the things we think about. I've been thinking a lot about that. You pray for me. The Lord willing, I'll be stepping down in May as a lead pastor of the church where I've been for 19 years now. And I'll begin the last chapter of the book as far as my life is concerned. But I'm not discouraged. As a matter of fact, I'm excited. I really am. Because a lot of races have been won in the last lap. And so I'm excited about what the Lord has in store and some things are already developing and taking shape. And I just want God to use me. And if you would pray for me, I sure would appreciate it. You have your Bibles tonight. We're going to turn to John chapter 21. And if it would be okay, I'd like to do just maybe a Bible study this evening. John chapter 21. In John chapter 20, it seems as though John is bringing his gospel to an end. It seems as though John is closing. In verse 30 of John chapter 20,
John said, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Jesus performed a lot of miracles that were not written in the Gospel of John. As a matter of fact, the Gospel of John has the fewest recorded miracles of all the Gospels. And John tells us why in verse 31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. The lessons Jesus taught, the sermons he preached, the miracles he performed were carefully selected for John's gospel because everything in the gospel of John was connected to salvation. Every miracle, every lesson that's recorded, every step he took in John's gospel was recorded that we might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that by believing we might have life through his name. And it seems John is closing the book, but he doesn't. Have you ever heard a preacher preach and it seems like he's winding down, and he's at a real good place to stop, and you're thinking he's bringing the message to a close, but then he introduces his next point and all of your hopes just die? That's what happens in the Gospel of John. He doesn't stop, but he goes on into chapter 21. And chapter 21 does not relate to anything John has said thus far. John goes in a totally different direction in chapter 21. And he focuses on Simon Peter. However, John chapter 21 had to be included. It had to be recorded. And I'll tell you why. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the last time we see Simon Peter, we get a good look at Simon Peter. He's cursing and swearing and denying that he even knew Jesus. And approximately 53 days later, he's standing up on the day of Pentecost preaching with 3,000 souls being added to the church. Matthew, Mark, and Luke closes with Peter denying Christ. The book of Acts begins with Peter being the chief elder of the early church. Peter was the leader and the spokesman for the apostles. He was the chief apostle in the first several chapters of the book of Acts, along with preaching on the day of Pentecost, which was a big deal. So how do you go from denying Jesus, swearing that you don't even know him, to preaching on the day of Pentecost just 53 days later as the chief apostle? How do you go from denying Christ to being the chief elder of the early church? And the answer is restoration. John was the only gospel writer that talked about the restoration of Simon Peter. Now, I have a three-part series on Peter's restoration, so I'm not going to try to dump all of that on you tonight. But I would like for us to consider a few events, some circumstances, and truth that were connected to Peter's restoration. In verse 1 of chapter 21, and this is an important verse, after these things Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. Twice in the verse, reference is made to Jesus showing himself. And the word show is deeper than just appearing before the disciples. He is revealing himself to the disciples. After the death of Jesus and after his resurrection, Jesus was never seen out of curiosity, or he was never seen accidentally again. He was only seen as he revealed himself. For example, Mary at the garden tomb thought he was the gardener until he revealed himself. The two on the road to Emmaus, which I believe was a husband and his wife, Cleopas and Mary, they thought he was a stranger until he revealed himself. And in verse 4 of John chapter 21, even his own disciples did not recognize him until he revealed himself. In verse number 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. This is huge. I go a fishing. You say, preacher, what's wrong with fishing? Nothing's wrong with fishing. I've got into fishing because of Brody. He loves to fish. And the last time I went, I think I caught maybe 3. One of them was about like that. And the other two were really small. I just threw them back. But you need to understand that when Simon Peter said, I go a fishing, he was saying more than just a mere I go a fishing. Actually, Simon is forsaking the call that Jesus put on his life. In Luke chapter 5, in verses 10 and 11, Jesus said, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. From now on, Peter, you're going to be fishing for men. And the Bible says that they forsook all and followed him. Peter turned his back on the sea, on his ship, on his nets, on his living, and began to follow Jesus. But here in John chapter 21 and verse 3, Peter said, I go a fishing. Why would Peter forsake the call that Christ had placed on his life? It was not because he had given up on Jesus. Peter went to the tomb. He saw the grave clothes. Peter knew that Jesus had risen from the dead. He was there. Peter was present the first time Jesus appeared to the disciples. So if Peter did not or had not given up on Jesus, what came over Peter cause him to turn his back on the call that Christ had placed on his life and just walk away? I tell you what it was. Peter had not given up on Jesus, but rather he had given up on himself. Peter couldn't get it right. No matter what he did, no matter how hard he tried, he just couldn't get it right. He couldn't get it right. To give you an example, you remember when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and he took with him Peter, James, and John, and he was glorified before their eyes, and Moses and Elijah came down and they all talked about the things that would unfold at Jerusalem. And Simon Peter spoke up and said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's just build three tabernacles and stay. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And the Bible said, this spake he, not knowing or understanding what he had said. Peter was the type of man, when he didn't know what to say, he just said something. And Peter made a huge mistake. It sounded good. Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build three tabernacles and stay. One for Moses, one for Elijah, one for you. But do you realize what Peter did? He put Jesus on the same level as Moses and Elijah. Let's build three tabernacles, one for Moses and one for Elijah and one for you. He put Moses and Elijah and Jesus all on the same level. And about that time, a cloud hovered over the mountain, and a voice spoke out of that cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. And they looked up, and Moses and Elijah was gone, and they saw Jesus only. It was as though the Father himself rebuked Simon Peter. This is my son. Not Moses, not Elijah. This is my son. And you hear him. That was the Father's way of saying to Simon Peter, Jesus is in a class all to himself. Don't dare to put Moses and Elijah on the same level with my son. He couldn't get it right. Peter could not get it right. You remember in the upper room, just hours before the crucifixion, Jesus laid aside his own garments and he girt himself with a towel and he began to wash the disciples' feet. And he came to Simon Peter. And Peter said, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Peter was embarrassed to see Jesus girded with a towel and stooping to wash feet. "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Peter was embarrassed because Jesus stooped lower than Peter was willing to stoop. I could preach there for a while, but I'm going on. Jesus was their Lord and he was their master. Yet he stooped lower than Simon Peter was willing to stoop. And Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, Peter, you have no part with me. You can't fellowship. You can't commune with me." And Peter said, "Well, in that case, just wash me all over." And Jesus said, "No, once you've been washed, once is enough." I mean, it didn't matter what Peter said. It just came out wrong. He couldn't get it right. Couldn't get it right. In the garden, I could go on and on. When they came to arrest Jesus, the disciples had two swords and Peter had one of them, and he drew the sword and cut off Malchus's ear. Malchus was a servant to the high priest. Here are soldiers and bodyguards to the high priest, and Peter comes out like a wild man with a sword and cuts off Malchus's ear. Peter came that close to creating a bloodbath in the garden that night. Peter had put his life in harm's way to defend Jesus and to fight for the kingdom. If someone risked their own life to save yours, you would expect that you would be appreciative, that somebody loved you enough to risk their life to save yours. But Jesus didn't thank Peter. Jesus didn't commend Peter. Jesus rebuked Peter. "Put up your sword. Don't you know those who live by the sword die by the sword? This is not the way it's supposed to be." I mean, Peter could not get it right. Even in Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus gave Peter the keys to the kingdom and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah," gave him a new name. His name was changed from Simon, which means unstable, to Peter, which means a rock. And then within the next couple of minutes, Jesus was talking about going to the cross, and Peter said, "Be it far from thee." And Jesus looked at Simon Peter and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." One moment Jesus was blessing Peter, and the next moment he was calling him Simon. It didn't matter what Peter tried to do. He failed. Everything he said just came out wrong. Even to walking on the water, I could go on and on. So one day, they were going to meet Jesus in Galilee. And that's the region where Peter was when Jesus called him. And Peter got to thinking about his boat. Bible said he went to a ship. If you look at the wording there in the Greek, that was a definite article, which means Peter was talking about and thinking about one specific ship. It was his own ship, his boat, his old fishing boat. His old fisherman's coat was still in that boat. And Peter said, I can't do this disciple thing. I can't get it right. No matter what I do, it's wrong. No matter how hard I try, it always comes out wrong. I just can't do this anymore. He thinks about his boat. He remembers his boat. And instead of going to meet Jesus, Peter said, I go a fishing. And the other disciple said, we also go with thee. Let me just throw something at you for you to think about. You think they had given up on themselves? You think they had given up on Jesus? Do you think they went fishing with Peter because of the strong influence that Peter had on them? Do you think they were walking away from their calling just as Peter was walking away from his calling? We also go with thee. I don't think so. Peter was in a bad place. He was down on himself. He had failed over and over and over and over and over and over. And he was tired of failing. He was tired of being embarrassed. He was tired of breaking the heart of Jesus. He was in a bad place. And the other disciples knew that Peter held the keys to the kingdom. And they knew that Peter was in a bad place. So when Peter said, I'm quitting, I'm walking away, I'm going back to fishing, I'm going back to do the one thing I can do. I'm not good at being a disciple, but there's one thing I am good at, and that's fishing. They said, we're going with you. I believe with all of my heart, the other disciples went with Peter because they wanted to make sure that Peter was okay. Remember, he held the keys to the kingdom. And they were being a friend to Peter. You're not going fishing without us. You're not getting in that boat alone. We're going with you. I'm going to tell you something. Fair weather friends are a dime a dozen. But if someone can't stand with me when I'm down low in the valley, I don't want them around when I'm on the mountain. If somebody can't stand with me in the bad times, don't come around me during the good times. If you can't stand by me in the darkness, I don't need you when the sun's shining. We also go with thee. And I love this. The Bible says they fished all night and they caught nothing. You know, Peter had the notion that he could just go right back to his old boat and start right back fishing and pick up right where he left off. I'm not good at this disciple thing, but there's one thing I am good at. That's fishing, and that's what I'm going to do. But the Bible says they fished all night and caught nothing. I'm telling you, once Jesus places his call on your life, and once you walk with him, and once you talk with him, and once you get to know him, you may think you can just forsake him and go right back to where you were. But honey, I'm here to tell you, things will never be the same. It's not the same. Peter had to learn it wasn't the same. Fished all night and caught nothing. They're going into the shore, discouraged. There's a stranger on the shore. Verse 4 tells us, I love this. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. They were supposed to go to Jesus. But when they didn't show up, Jesus went to them. When they didn't show up, when Peter didn't show up, Jesus went to them. They were supposed to have come to Jesus, but when they didn't come, Jesus went to them. You see, Peter had given up on himself. He'd given up. I can't do it. You ever feel like that? You ever just feel like you're such a failure as a parent, as a Christian, in life? You look back over your life to view your accomplishments. Feel like a failure. That was Simon Peter. He'd given up on himself. But Jesus didn't give up on him. You remember when Jesus said, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. He didn't say if. He said, when? Peter had an appointment with destiny. Peter had an appointment with his purpose in life. And even though Peter had given up on himself, Jesus never gave up. And when Simon Peter didn't come to Jesus, Jesus went looking for him. I'm here to tell you tonight, friend, you can't outrun the long arm of love. You just can't outrun the long arm of love. Jesus was standing on the shore. They didn't know who he was. The disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And he said, "Children, wait a minute. Did I hear him right?" Simon Peter's turned his back on Jesus. Simon has forsaken the call that Christ had placed on his life. Simon is going back to doing what he was doing before he ever met Jesus. Children! You missed a good place to say amen. Have ye any meat? The disciples, they think it's a stranger. They don't know it's Jesus. Have ye any meat? You know, I've always thought about why would deity ask questions? Why would God ask questions? How many of you believe God knows everything? Raise your hand. Well, why would God ask questions? Adam, where art thou? Duh. Don't you think God knew where Adam was? And I love the one when the Lord is wrestling with Jacob, and Jacob is saying, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Lord, I need a blessing." And then all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, the Lord said, "What's your name?" You reckon the Lord's having a senior moment? Who are you? That's not the first time Jacob was asked that question. But then it wasn't the first time he had asked for a blessing either. You remember he went to his blind father, Isaac, and said, "Father, I've come for a blessing." And Isaac said, "Who are you? What's your name?" And he lied about who he was. He said, "I'm Esau." He lied to his blind father. But he's not wrestling. He's not talking to his blind daddy now. He's talking to the great I am. And when God asks him, "Who are you? I want to hear your name." He said, "I am Jacob." The word Jacob means supplanter, manipulator, deceiver. And he had lived into his name. And as soon as Jacob confessed the truth about who he was, it was as though God said, "That's what I've been waiting to hear. I'm going to give you a new name." And his name was changed right then and there from Jacob to Israel. Children! Have ye any meat? Jesus knew their nets were empty. Can I go just a little bit beyond that and say not only did he know their nets were empty, he was responsible for their nets being empty. He saw to it that not one little fish swam into their nets all night long. Why would he do such a thing? Through their failures, he was creating an opportunity to manifest His power. Through their failures, He was creating an opportunity to reveal Himself. As I look back over the 54 years that I've been trying to live for Jesus, I can look back at my valleys. I can look back at my storms. I can look back at my failures. I can look back at all my needs. And I see now that in my valleys and in my failures and in my storms, that He was working behind the scenes, creating an opportunity just to show me how big He was and how much God He is. He was creating an opportunity to manifest His power. They still don't know who He is. And their answer is no. When Peter went back to fishing, he thought he could succeed at fishing. He had failed as a disciple. But now he failed at fishing too. And when they said no, it was as though they were saying, I can't! You ever just told God you can't do it? I'm going to tell you something. If you don't hear anything else I say tonight, this will be worth your trip to Jubilee. It'll be a good day when you come to the end of yourself. And you realize without Him, you can do nothing. We tried and we failed. And it was as though Jesus was saying, that's what I've been waiting to hear. If I felt like it, I might would consider taking a lap around this place tonight. You might have to call 911. When they confessed their failure, when they said, Lord, we can't, that's when Jesus said, that's good. Now I'm going to show you I can. When you come to the end of yourself, when you realize that you can't, no matter how hard you try, you can't. You learn and you discover that without Him, you're just a big failure. When you confess to God, I can't. That's when He steps in and shows you that He can. Cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. I'm just about done. And the Bible said they cast therefore. And with that one cast, they caught so many fish they couldn't even bring the net back up into the boat. And that's when John turned around and said to Simon Peter, Simon, that's no stranger. Peter, that's him. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. Wouldn't you love to be in some meetings that were just unexplainable? And instead of talking about the preacher or talking about the singers, wouldn't you just love to be in a service that left everyone standing in awe, exclaiming, it's the Lord! It's the Lord! Who but God can do such things as these? Peter girded himself with his fisherman's coat. By the way, before I get to this last part, let me just back up just a little bit. John, when they went to drew the net and it was full of fish, John said, it's the Lord. You see, that was not the first time Jesus had performed a miracle of that nature. If you go back and read in Luke chapter 5, as Jesus was calling the disciples, they were in Simon Peter's boat and they had fished with no success, and Jesus told them to cast the net, and they cast it and they caught so many fish that it broke the nets. They couldn't even get the net into the boat. John recognized that miracle. Yeah. He did it again. He did it again.
Hey.
Yes, sir. I want to ask you a question. Has he ever answered a prayer for you?
Amen.
Don't you think he can do it again? Has he ever made a way for you when there was no way? Don't you think he can do it again when your situation looked hopeless and all of a sudden Jesus turned your hopelessness into hope? Don't you think he can do it again? Absolutely, he can do it again. This is where I'm going to stop. This is where I'm going to end up. The disciples came on in to the shore in a smaller boat, dragging the net. Peter swam into the shore, and there was Jesus. He had a fire going. And guess what he had on the fire? Somebody tell me. Fish. He had some fish. Now, I wouldn't get too excited about this if I were you. What had they been looking for all night long? Fish. They'd been casting the net all night long, trying to catch
fish.
And when they got to Jesus, they discovered that he had exactly what they'd been looking for. They'd been looking for fish. They'd been trying to catch fish. And when they got to Jesus, they found the very thing they'd been looking for. Oh, listen, I was looking for peace, and I was looking for happiness, and I was looking for joy. I was looking for someone to care. I was looking for someone that would love me unconditionally. And everything I had been looking for, I found when I met Jesus. I want you to stand with me, if you would, all over the building. Just a part of his restoration. Peter had given up on himself. But Jesus never gave up. The Bible says, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Maybe you've tried going back, but you've discovered it's not the same. It's not the same. Paul asked the question, how shall he that's dead to sin
live any longer therein? And the answer is, you can't. You can't. It's not the same. You can't. You can't outrun him. I may be speaking to somebody here tonight. I don't know. You know, when you first called me, Brother Justin, these are the verses that God touched my heart about. There may be somebody here tonight. You feel like a failure. As a husband or a wife, a parent, a Christian. You feel like a failure in life. And you've given up on yourself. But I like what the songwriter said. He never gave up on me. Jesus hasn't given up on you either. As you hear his voice tonight, don't run from him. Run to him. We're just going to sing a verse, maybe two, of some invitational number, but perhaps God is speaking to you. And I can promise you this, the joy that you're looking for, the fulfillment that you're seeking, will be found where Jesus is. All of our needs are met in Christ. While they sing, you just let God have his way in your heart. Let him have his way.